One of the speakers at the Keswick Convention, I think, is Alistair Begg. It's maybe Alistair, maybe Andrew Begg, I don't know which. Alistair. But he tells the story of the thief who was on the cross. And the thief arrives at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, "Well, that's tremendous. You're very welcome as a believer. How about justification by faith?" "I don't know what you're speaking about." "How about sanctification and the growth of the Holy Spirit?" "I haven't a clue." "Well, how about the fruits of the Spirit? I mean, I don't know." "So what are you doing here?" The man in the middle cross said I could come. The man in the middle cross said I could come. What is faith? It's the firm and earnest belief, conviction, a complete confidence, a reliance, a trust. And that is the dictionary definition. In Hebrews 11, we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Later on, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a gift of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says, To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith. Romans 12, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It is a gift of God, but how do we acquire? What is the channel through which that gift comes? Romans 10 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing, hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." The message is here through the word of Christ. The Jew dealt with his sin through the Mosaic law. The sacrificial lamb was taken, it was offered to the priest, the throat was cut, the blood was thrown against the altar, and it covered over his sin. But when Christ died on the cross, we are justified by faith. We maintain, Romans 3, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the law. Martin Luther says, "Justified by faith alone, not by works. We can't work up to the standard God has for us, but rather we are justified by faith alone. It is his gift as we trust in him." If you're from a Catholic background or you've been to a Catholic service, you may have heard the phrase, "We are going to remember the sacrifice of the Mass." The sacrifice of the Mass. That is an error. In Hebrews 9 and 28, it says, "Christ died for one and only time. He is the ultimate and final sacrifice. There is no sacrifice beyond that. He has done it all for us. He is the sacrifice for us." Perhaps, and maybe a bit like myself, after years of doing your own thing, you hear the gospel. It didn't make much sense. But curiously, recently, the message has stirred you. People have been praying for you. Circumstances in your life have posed some problems and have caused you real anxiety. The death of a loved one has brought you real pain and grief. And for the first time in your life, in humility, you kneel by your bed, and in a halting, broken way, you cry out, If there is a God, please help me. I can't go on the way things are. You admit your sin. You cry out for forgiveness. And in an amazing way, as happened to me, you feel a peace. Circumstances are still the same, but there is a peace and an awareness that He is there. He is there. Your faith has brought a sense of forgiveness and peace. In Romans 3, and I'm reading for the Living Bible, But now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep the new way, though no new way really, for the scriptures told about it long ago. Now God, He will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like in life. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet now God declares us not guilty of offending Him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in His kindness freely takes away our sin. For God sent Christ to take punishment for our sins and to end all God's anger against us. On the cross, Jesus did something amazing, the ultimate sacrifice. The Bible calls this justification by faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, admit that you have failed, that you are a sinner, you're imperfect. But Lord, I may not understand it all, but I know You died for me, You paid the penalty, and that I can walk freely knowing that I am redeemed and saved. I'm reading from Louis Berkhof's The Systematic Theology, and he says, justification is a judicial act of God in which He declares, on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all claims of the law are satisfied with respect to the sinner. Justification takes place once and for all. It is not repeated, neither is it a process. It is for all time. The pardon granted in justification applies to all sins, past, present, and in the future. And this involves the removal of all guilt and of every penalty. That's amazing. I'm going to read that again. Justification is a judicial act of God in which He declares, on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all claims of the law are satisfied with respect to the sinner. Justification takes place once for all. It is not repeated, neither is it a process. It is complete at once and for all time. The pardon granted in justification applies to all sins, past, present, and in the future. And this involves the removal of all guilt and of every penalty. If you can believe in that final sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are on your way to heaven. But He makes clear, and the Bible makes clear, it does not change the inner life. You accept that, you accept justification by faith, but the inner self is still there. You can still sin. The saint can still sin. And yet, when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is a daily process. Every day, Lord, again, in my thought, word, and action, I have fallen below Your standard. Yes, I know I am justified by faith, that if I die now, I go to heaven. But I am still a flawed individual. Please forgive me again. And when we do that, we know that He does forgive our sin. It says here in the book of Jude, one of my favorite bits, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Tremendous. And in the beginning of Romans 8, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We are accepted by Jesus, and he has planted in us the seed of faith. He has planted in us the seed of faith. It is not a complete, mature faith. It is the seed of faith. Our responsibility as flawed individuals, justified by faith though we are, is to grow that seed of faith. We are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And in your heart, there is that seed of faith. Values and attitudes change. Some immediately and some over a period of time. Because after that justification by faith, there starts the process of sanctification. And that is where the Christian grows slowly to be like Jesus Christ. He grows to that place where the fruit of the Spirit becomes more and more apparent and he becomes sanctified. Why? Because his values and attitudes have changed. Some immediately, some over time. A willingness to forgive, an ability to show compassion, not to be money-driven and materialistic, to deal with lust, sexual impurity, and gossip, to be willing to serve one another, to start actively to read and study the Word, and to pray to one another, and to build up your faith. The seed of faith has to grow. There are warnings about compromise. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We have an active, true faith that is growing within us. And when we fall, as we do, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved and your sins will be forgiven. Praise God for that. There is also a historic faith. That was an active faith where we have encountered Jesus. In fact, I forgot to say, Gerald Coates said, you have this, Gerald Coates, he was a controversial minister who spoke at the Gate Fellowship. And I remember him talking about faith. And he says, we all have a seed of faith. When you pray for healing, you may not have enough faith to see the healing, but start off with dandruff. Start praying for dandruff that will be eliminated. Grow your faith. Start off in a small way to see God answering in whatever direction you're driven. But there's also a historic faith. And that is a faith. Oh, he is of the Muslim faith. It's a noun. He's of the Christian faith. It is simply a label. And there's also, the Bible says, a temporary faith. And I've been here as a young teenager. The parable of the sower, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, is the man who hears the word and receives it with joy. But since it has no root, it only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. Many of us have stood before at a conference and you've been broken and you say, yes, Lord, I need you into my life. But on a Monday morning, you're back with the guys. You're back in the workplace. You're back in year 3 in Harris Academy and it's all go and the lads are there and you forget all about it. That was an emotionalism. Oh, yes, you wanted to follow Jesus. But when persecution and temptation and peer pressure hits you, you can very quickly lose it, a temporary faith. There's also a miraculous faith, gifts of healing. And I mentioned the last time I spoke about Catherine Kuhlman, and there are others who had a real anointing, a special miraculous gift of faith, where they could pray for people and see change, see healing, see dramatic things happening. And that's amazing. And of course, as we read, even after Christ went up to heaven, Paul was able to, again, exemplify these gifts of healing as he went around and raised some of the people who were having illness. Paul heals the crippled man, stand up on your feet. And he did so in Acts 14 and 8. And yet, even in the presence of Jesus, the disciples failed to heal the boy suffering from seizures. They asked Jesus, why couldn't we drive out the demon? Jesus replied, because you've got so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and go there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Maybe we're not anxious enough to grow our faith. Prayer and fasting. Isaiah 58 says, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of the injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Maybe we're not desperate enough. I don't know. Lord, help us to be desperate enough to grow the faith that you've given us. In the book of James, he emphasizes that the faith we have should be expressed by actions. Faith that is not accompanied by action is dead. Verse 24 of James 2, a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. The outworking of that Holy Spirit faith, the outworking of it, is that there is an action. There is action, practical demonstration that God has changed you. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. In Mark 5, Jairus comes to Jesus. There's a crowd. He's just come across the lake. Huge crowd of people. The Bible says a vast crowd of people. And Jairus, one of the leaders of the synagogue, pushes through the crowd, falls at his feet, and says, Jesus, my daughter is dying. Please come. I know if you touch her, she'll be healed. And as he looks for expectation, a woman pushes through the crowd. She's almost on her knees, and she reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And everything stops, because Jesus says, who touched me? I feel power has gone out of me. And the disciple says, Jesus, there's crowds here. Everybody's touching you. No, something happened there. Something happened. I felt power going out. And here is this woman trembling and saying, Lord, I've tried so many things. I've been to so many doctors. This hemorrhage I've got has continued. I can't. But Lord, I feel I've been healed. And here is Jairus standing. For goodness sake, woman, will you please? I want my daughter to live. And here you are distracting the Savior. And he's now hearing all the stuff, all about the doctors and all about the money you've spent. Please, hurry up. And somebody comes to Jairus and says, look, it's okay. She's passed on. Your daughter has died. Don't bother the Savior. Don't bother the Master. It's all right. But Jesus hears, only believe. Jairus, only believe. And the crowd moves on. The woman is healed. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The woman who had this hemorrhage for years and years, spent all her livelihood, has suddenly been healed. But Jairus' daughter has died. And they go down the street and there's a crowd. The synagogue poured out the congregation. There was a crowd of people and they were all weeping and wailing. She's dead. The girl's dead. And Jesus says, look, she's sleeping. You don't know what you're talking about. They mocked him. And he says, just stay there. And he went in with a few disciples and they went into the house. And he lays his hand on the child, age 12, Talitha Kume. Little girl, get up. And she gets up. Give her something to eat. And she's restored to health and strength. Jairus, he had to stand there when the woman who had been healed with the hemorrhage was going over the whole story. Because the Bible says, not in that version, but in the NIV, it tells us she told Jesus the whole story. How long would that take? And Jairus is thinking, she's dying. She's ebbing away. I know she's dying. I need to stand back and wait until Jesus was ready. It's okay. It's okay. Only believe. And he goes down and he raises the young lass. Lord, give us faith, even when there's delay, even when we don't see things happening immediately, the way we want, in the time we want. Give us faith to believe that as we grow our faith, we become more available, more ready to see your results in our life. And then, of course, how does it grow? Faith grows, I'm sorry to say, through trouble. James 1 and 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, but you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, persevering prayer. Perseverance must finish its work, that you may be mature, not lacking in anything. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There is purpose in trouble, but we have to persevere. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm waiting for my poor daughter to be healed. And I'm listening. This poor woman is taking up the time that is precious. But I'm waiting. I'm persevering. I'm persevering till I see a breakthrough. Help us to break through. Help us to persevere when we don't see the results when we want at the time. And then faith grows through prayer and study. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Come back to the beginning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, grow your faith. You may have a seed of faith when you came to Christ, but our responsibility is to grow it, to see it develop, to practice in small ways, to have faith enough to pray for people when we see them in the street, to have faith enough to do things that we'd not normally do, but practically showing love for those around us. Prayer and actions empowered by faith prompts God to respond. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, that you may be mature, not lacking in anything. Grow your faith. Keep close to God in prayer, study, and listening to that still, small voice. Don't brush it aside. Ach, I'll do it later. It doesn't matter. Do it now when God speaks in that gentle prompting. Do it now. Take action. And recognize the outcome of faithful prayer. That's in God's hands. We may not see the results of our faith extended. We may not see it immediately, but recognize that all things do work together for God, because that's the way he works. All things do work together for God and for those who are called according to his purpose. But Lord, you're not acting fast enough. No, maybe not. But only believe. Only believe and realize that ultimately he will act. I will act. Lord, for those of us here who are struggling with issues, waiting for the job, looking for the healing of a loved one, have a problem in business terms or even in our marriages, Lord, give us faith. Help us to grow that faith that we know you are ultimately in charge. But Lord, we don't just grow the faith. Help us to exercise in action what we have to do, to show humility, to be prepared to forgive, to show compassion, to reach out in practical demonstration to those around us. And indeed, Lord, to be faithful and to persevere for your name's sake. Amen.